Turn with me, if you would, in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Let's pause before we dig into God's Word together to seek His help. Father, thank You for the amazing privilege we have of gathering as Your people to sing Your praise, to celebrate who You are. What a great salvation we enjoy as we are brought in, invited in to know You, to enjoy You, fellowship with You, relationship. Thank You, Jesus, for paying our price in full, taking our sin that separates us from a holy God out of the way, nailing it to the cross so today we can enjoy Your favor, Your grace, Your kindness. What a treasure it is to gather with Your people and celebrate You, to celebrate our relationship with You. Be at work in us and through us. Work in us by Your Word and through the power of Your Holy Spirit to make us new inside. Give us ears to hear. Open our hearts to what You would have to say to us today. We ask it in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. We are taking a few weeks to look at the church. What or who the church is. We've seen the church consists of all those who call on the name of the Lord Jesus as sovereign rescuing King. The church is what Jesus promised to build, and it belongs to Him. The church is a Holy Spirit created new covenant community of born again baptized believers. The church universal includes all genuine believers everywhere. Throughout history around the world, local churches are visible, local expressions of this broader reality, the body of Christ, the church. The Bible uses metaphors to describe for us the church, a family. Those adopted by the Father, born into the family through the Holy Spirit, made co-heirs with Christ as brothers and sisters. The church is a flock, wayward, wandering sheep, now gathered under the Good Shepherd, entrusted to the care of under-shepherds, elders in the church appointed to watch over the flock. The church is a building made up not of bricks and wood and stone, but of living stones joined together as a holy temple of the Lord, a dwelling place for God by the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 27 tells us, "Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it." Today we want to look at the church as the body of Christ and each of us as members of it. When we talk about members of the church, we need to clear something up. Don't think members of a society, members of a club. Just pay your dues and then you have exclusive access to all these services, all these perks, all these amenities. It's not an optional voluntary association like the American Automobile Association. I looked up their website. AAA members get 24/7 roadside assistance, discounts at thousands of locations, identity theft protection, travel services, and much more. There's more to AAA than you think, all for as little as $64.99 a year. From legendary roadside assistance and the convenience of in-branch services to savings on travel, entertainment, and auto repairs, AAA membership can benefit you for life. Choose from three levels of AAA membership: Classic, Plus, or Premier. How does membership benefit me? And if you pay more for the premium membership, you get access to more perks, more privileges. That's not the biblical metaphor. Romans, 1 Corinthians, Ephesians, Colossians talk about the church as the body of Christ. That's the metaphor. We are members, not membership in a local club, but members of a body, a foot, a hand, an eye, an ear. We're likened to body parts of the human anatomy, members, body parts of a human body. Paul in 1 Corinthians 12 is addressing the issue of spiritual gifts, literally grace gifts. In chapter 1, back in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, he said, I give thanks to my God always for you because of the grace of God that was given you in Christ Jesus. That in every way you were enriched in him in all speech and all knowledge, even as the testimony about Christ was confirmed among you, so that you are not lacking in any gift as you wait for the revealing of our Lord Jesus Christ. Paul is writing 1 Corinthians to correct a laundry list of issues, problems in this church. Chapters 12 to 14, he addresses their misuse of the grace gifts. The Corinthians were all about the gifts. Who had the better, the more impressive, the more important gift? They wrongly assumed whoever had the most sensational gift, that one's the most important in the church. And they used it as a grounds for pride. First of all, Paul reminds them in chapter 12, verse 3, the greatest grace gift of all is the gift of salvation. The Spirit-enabled faith to call on Jesus as Lord. To surrender to Him as King and to be saved. Then, verses 4 to 6, he reminds them that gifts are gifts. They're gifts. They're not deserved. There's a variety of grace gifts, but they're all given by the Holy Spirit in service of the Lord Christ, empowered by God the Father. And every grace gift is a manifestation of the Holy Spirit given for the common good. They're not for selfish use. They're for others. He lists verses 8 to 10, the utterance of wisdom, the utterance of knowledge, faith, gifts of healings, the working of miracles, prophecy, the ability to distinguish between spirits, various kinds of tongues, the interpretation of tongues. He emphasizes throughout that all of these are given by one and the same Spirit. And he reminds them again, verse 11, all these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. These are grace gifts, not merit-based rewards, given by the will of the Holy Spirit, not because of any human skill or experience. Or expertise. To teach the proper use of the gifts, Paul uses the analogy of human anatomy. Verse 12. Just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one Spirit we were all baptized into one body. Jews or Greeks, slaves or free, all were made to drink of one Spirit. The human body is a highly complex mechanism made up of many diverse parts. Any student of anatomy, got any students of anatomy in here? Any student of anatomy knows, has some idea of the vast diversity, the interconnectedness of the human body. The human hand alone, I read, consists of 27 bones, 27 joints, 34 muscles, hundreds of ligaments, not to mention tendons, nerves, blood vessels. There are 11 major systems of organs in the human body, but they all make up one body. All the various parts, systems must work together in harmony for the body to function properly. Paul compares the human body to Christ. He says that being immersed into the Spirit immerses us into one body. There's not a Jewish body and a Greek body. There's one body, the body of Christ. There's not a higher class body and a lower class body. There is one body, the body of Christ. Regeneration, new birth by the Holy Spirit makes us parts in this one body. But people ask, why is it important to be a member of a church? I attend. I show up. Isn't that enough? Here's the reality. Being a member of the body is not optional. It's essential. It is, in essence, what you are if you belong to Jesus, if you're a follower of Jesus. To be a believer in Jesus is to be baptized by the Holy Spirit into the one body of Christ. It's somewhat like baptism. If you've been born anew, baptized by the Spirit, why would you not be baptized in water? The outward visible sign, the inward visible reality. At the end of our service today, we get to witness a baptism. We get to see someone who's put their trust in Jesus, who's been born of the Spirit of God, take that outward physical step of getting immersed in water to tell the world, I'm a follower of Jesus. I've been made new inside. If you belong in the same way, if you belong to Christ's one body, if you've been born of the Spirit, immersed into the body of Christ, how can you not belong to a local, visible expression of that one invisible, universal body, the body of Christ? I don't know if any of you remember the old TV show, The Addams Family. A sitcom about a family of misfits and monsters. There was this thing, actually that was its name, Thing. Thing, T-Thing, I think. It was a hand that came out of a box. Just a hand. Nothing attached, just a severed hand walking around on its fingers, right? The whole point is that's absurd. A hand severed from the rest of the body is not alive, not functional, it's dead. Useless. That's Paul's point. Verse 14, for the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot should say, because I'm not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part, a member of the body. If the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I don't belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part, a member of the body. Members, body parts, are parts of the body. The body is made up of the whole thing. Members belong to that body. A member attempting to detach itself from the body is unnatural, broken, impossible. There is a God-intended diversity in the members. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 17, if the whole body were an eye, just pause, listen to what Paul's saying, picture that for a minute. Think of the little guy with Monsters, Inc. He's still got arms and legs, but big old eyeball, right? If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as He chose. If all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The diverse members are meant to complement one another. They have different God-given functions. God orchestrated this. It's as God arranged, as God chose. And they all go together to allow the body to function. You ever stop to marvel at your ability to run upstairs? We've got an old house, fairly steep stairs. My daily exercise routine is running back upstairs to get something that I forgot. I couldn't tell you how many times I do that a day. I couldn't tell you how many stairs there are. I couldn't tell you how high each of those stairs is. All I can say is when I need to run up the stairs, somehow all my different systems work together in harmony to get me to the top of the stairs. That's a fascinating, that's a marvelous thing. I don't consciously pause to think about placing each foot deliberately on each step and then forget what I was going up to get in the first place. Somehow my eyes sending messages to my brain, which is processing the information, communicating that instantaneously to all the different muscles in my legs and feet, and somehow I end up back safely at the bottom of the stairs, hopefully with whatever I set out to retrieve. Somehow my body can even naturally adjust to a different pitch of stairs in somebody else's house. If I try to watch my feet and pay attention to what each part is doing, that's when I trip, stumble, fall. But imagine how difficult it would be if my left foot decided to just go on strike for the day. You've had it happen. You sit wrong, get your foot tucked up under your feet, and you get up and it's dead. You can't feel anything. It's asleep. Try running up the stairs then. See, one member makes a big difference in how the body functions. 1 Corinthians 12, verse 21, the eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you. Nor again the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor, and our unpresentable parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has so composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. Have you ever gotten something in your eye? I have a wood shop. I enjoy doing woodworking things. I sometimes don't always wear my safety goggles, and I got a big old wood chip in my eye. It felt like it was about this big, and it got behind, under, like inside, like down there. Your eyelids instinctively clamp shut in pain and self-protection. Nothing else exists. Nothing else matters. Everything is on hold. You stumble half-blind into the bathroom mirror, try to get whatever is in there that doesn't belong out. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ, and individually members of it. You are the body of Christ. Every believer, those who have put their trust only and completely in the Lord Jesus, Jesus of Nazareth, who died on a cross for my sins, everyone who puts their trust in Jesus is a member of the body of Christ. The question is, what kind of a member are you? How are you functioning? Do you know what your role is in the body? What were you made to do? See, God orchestrated this. God intended this to function together. Who am I? What is my role? What is my part to play in the body? What was I made for? If I'm a hand and I'm trying to look around, trying to talk, it's like you're trying to do something that you weren't made for. What were you made for? Do you know your place in the interconnected systems that make up the body? In what ways are you connected with and dependent on the other members of the body? Let's say, I'm this, what is it, metacarpal something, I don't know. My wife's a nurse, so I pick up some of the lingo, but I'm just a little bone. Well, I need the muscles. I need the ligaments. I need the blood supply. I need all those things for me to function properly in the body. I need to be connected. If I'm not connected, useless. In what ways are you connected with, dependent on the other members of the body? What other members are depending on you? Your part to play in the body. Are you a healthy member? Or have you allowed infection or disease in? Allowed it to fester, to grow. It's not isolated. It's not, I know this is self-destructive, this is stupid, I'm aware, I'm walking away from Jesus and doing dumb things, but it's only hurting me. We understand you're a part of the body, it doesn't work that way, I'm sorry. You let infection in, you let that fester and grow, and you nurse that and allow that to bleed. Gangrene's going to spread. It's going to affect the entire body. That's why sin is such a serious issue. That's why holiness is so essential in those who follow Jesus. It's not just, I'm me over here all by myself. No, you're connected. You're connected to the body. Are you atrophied from inactivity? Yeah, I'm a muscle, but I haven't flexed in I don't know how long. Don't be an appendix. Often irritable, often inflamed, causes great pain to the rest of the body. Better off just to take it out. We're not sure that we really need it in any way or what it's supposed to do. You know what? There's a reason for it. It's there. God put it there. It's not vestigial as if it's some leftover from some evolutionary process. No, God put you together for a purpose. What were you created to be and do in the body? What's your attitude toward other members of the body? Is it frustration, irritation, because, they're not doing their part? I'm wearing out because I'm lifting the heavy load and they're just like flopping over there, not contributing. Am I frustrated? Am I irritated? Is there arrogance? Is there pride? I'm so much more useful a member than that guy over there. Do you tend to isolate? Maybe I'm just better off doing my own thing all by myself over here. I don't need to. The rest of the body is kind of dragging me down. I'm just gonna just do my thing. Maybe you wonder, do I really even have any function? Do I have anything of value to offer to the body? Remember 1 Corinthians 12 verse 7 says, to each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. It doesn't say to some, it says to each. If you belong to the body, that includes you. If you're a believer in Jesus, that includes you. It is supernatural. It's a manifestation of the Spirit, the Holy Spirit of the living God, and it is for a purpose. It is for the common good. It's meant, you are meant as a gift to the body, a gift to others. It's meant to build others up. If you jump to chapter 14, he just constantly, this is for others, for the common good, for the common good, for the common good. It's for others to bless others. What is my part? How do I figure that out? Here's a simple test. Look around. Just pay attention to the things around you. What do you notice that isn't being done, that isn't happening, that ought to be happening. Anybody notice there's cobwebs in that corner? Why isn't somebody cleaning that up? That light bulb burnt out. Somebody ought to change that. It's bugging me. I can't listen to the sermon because there's this thing that's not right that is, somebody needs to do something. Does no one else notice that person who's hurting, who's struggling? Why doesn't someone reach out and encourage her? Pray for him. Come alongside and care. What about this opportunity that's not being seized? What about that ministry that's not being done? Or not being done well? How do I respond? Well, who do I complain to? Who's in charge of getting that done so I can let them know that they need to do it? Or maybe I should ask, was that something I could do? Am I able? I see it, I notice it. Maybe I'm able to meet that need. Here's the thing. Here's something, blow your mind, get you out of your box. When I notice something, I need to realize I might be the only one who is noticing that thing, that particular need. And that may be God calling me to step up to help to meet that need. It's so glaringly obvious to me, but maybe nobody else is seeing it because that's God's Holy Spirit revealing to me that here's a need. I want you. Member, part, body part, I want you to do that. I should always ask, what's my heart? What's my attitude? Am I frustrated? Am I irritated? Am I just stepping up because nobody else will? Because I think I'm the only one who can get the job done right? Am I looking for recognition? Am I willing to humbly serve in love, genuinely seeking to build others up? Is it my place to do this? I was in a church for a time where I was frustrated because I saw something being done poorly, in my opinion, and I felt I could do it better. But it was not my place. And God was revealing to me my own pride. And I had to learn to put to death my own flesh, to humble myself, to come under, to come alongside, to graciously encourage, to pray for, to submit to godly leadership, to wait, to learn, to grow in character and humility. That was a difficult season, but it was a good season of growth for me personally. Verse 28, God has appointed in the church first apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, gifts of healing, helping, administrating, various kinds of tongues. Are all apostles? Rhetorical question. No. Are all prophets? No. Are all teachers? No. Do all work miracles? No. Do all possess gifts of healing? Do all speak with tongues? Do all interpret? No one member is everything. This person is gifted as the Lord has so put together the body for this particular purpose, this person for a different one. But earnestly desire the higher gifts, and I will show you a still more excellent way. This still more excellent way, as chapter 13 unpacks, is the way of love. The way of love in the body. Love that is slow to anger. love that is kind, love that is not jealous, not puffed up with pride, not arrogant, not rude, not self-seeking, not irritable, not keeping record of wrongs. Every follower of Jesus is a member of his body, the church. What kind of a member are you? Let's pray. Holy Spirit, you are the one who immerses us into this messy, broken, beautiful thing called the church, the body of Christ. Holy Spirit, you are the one who has poured out grace gifts on the church for the common good, in order that as functional parts of this thing called the body, we can build one another up in love. So Holy Spirit, we come humbly to you right now and simply ask, first of all, would you show us, would you reveal to us, if we're truly parts of this thing called the body, if we are truly born of the Spirit, born of you, made new inside, and Lord, if there's anybody here this morning that that is not true of, that shows up at church but doesn't have a relationship with you right now, Spirit, open their minds, open their hearts to see Jesus crucified, resurrected, seated at the right hand of the Father, to see Jesus as King and Lord and our only hope to rescue us from our sin. And Lord, would you draw that person to yourself? And if you're that person, cry out to the Lord right now, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Call on the name of the Lord and you will be saved. And Lord, for those of us that are members, parts of the body, Holy Spirit, would you show us who you have made us to be, what our part is, what our function is in this organism, the body of Christ. So often we can't see it, we just naturally are inclined to do something, and those around us, if we ask, would say, oh, you are totally that. This is clearly who you are. So, Lord, help us not to be too proud to ask a brother, a sister, hey, what do you see me, how do you see me functioning, plugging in, connecting with the body? Lord Jesus, we are meant to bring glory and honor and praise to you. So Lord, help us as your body, as the church, to be your body, to be working together in beautiful harmony, diverse, unique, different, yet we have the same mission, the same goal, the same purpose, to love you, to grow in our relationship to you, to invite others in, to experience your grace, your forgiveness, your salvation, to enjoy relationship with you. Lord, help us as your body, this local body, Ephraim Church of the Bible, this small visible expression of this thing, this supernatural body that spans the globe and time. Help us to be a healthy, functioning body that is active and living and at work in the world. Help us to lean into our connectedness with one another and ultimately our source is you. You, Jesus, are the head of the body. If we're disconnected from you, we're dead. So Lord, help us to sink our roots into you. And help us, by the power of the Holy Spirit, to love our brothers and sisters who are different from us, and yet also called by you in their unique capacity to serve you, to bring glory and honor to you. Help us to build one another up, to come alongside, to encourage, to love. Lord, show us our role. Help us to grow in those things, to flourish, to get healthy and strong and thrive, and to be able to just run with endurance the race that you have set before us. Keeping our eyes on you, Jesus, our head, our King, our Lord. Thank you for your amazing blessing of the church family. We want to receive that blessing and enjoy it today. Thank you, Jesus. It's in your magnificent holy name we pray. Amen. I invite our elders, some of our elders, to come and prepare to serve communion. This is our opportunity as followers of Jesus, as those who have been given new life in Christ, who have their sins paid for through the blood of Jesus, who are clinging to that only, that completely. This is our opportunity as brothers and sisters in Christ to share communion, to enjoy this unity, this blood-bought unity that we have, and to reflect on what it costs, what Jesus paid so that I could be in a right relationship with Him. Our sins have made a separation between us and God. Somehow that needs to be dealt with. God doesn't just sweep our sin under the rug, pretend like it's not there, ignore it. He wants us to see it, to acknowledge it, to recognize that it's confession. To acknowledge, yes, God, this displeases you. I'm a sinner. I'm in need of your grace. I have no hope outside of Jesus. And run not away from him to hide, because there's no place we can hide from an omnipresent God, an omniscient God, God who knows everything, sees everything, is everywhere. But we run to him and say, yes, I'm a mess, and you already know that. But would you clean this mess up? Would you, by the blood of Jesus, wash me clean, make me new? That's what baptism symbolizes. That's what baptism pictures, is the water washes us physically from dirt. The blood of Jesus washes us clean from the filth of sin. The blood of Jesus cleanses us, makes us clean, makes us new, so that we can enjoy a relationship with God where we don't stand before him condemned. We don't stand before him in shame and guilt, wearing our sin. We are clothed in the righteousness of Christ. As we put our trust in Jesus, he clothes us in. Throughout the Bible, it talks about being in Christ, being in, found in him. We're clothed in his perfect righteousness. So when we stand before the Father, if we're trusting only in Jesus, the Father looks at us and he doesn't see Rodney the sinner who did this and this and this and has guilt and shame. No, he looks and he says, I see the perfect record of my only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus. That's credited to my account. My sin was credited to his account on the cross, and he paid that price in full. When he cried out, it is finished, to tell us that it's paid in full. That's a beautiful salvation we enjoy as members of the body of Christ. So we'll serve you if you're a believer in Jesus. If you've put your trust only and completely in him, you're welcome to, as part of the body, take our sustenance as the body. We run to Jesus for our strength, for our sustenance. Take bread, take juice. Reminders of his body broken, his blood poured out on the cross to wash me clean, to make me new. Hold that in your hand and reflect on the body, that you are a member, a part of this thing, this beautiful thing called the body. Once we've all been served, I will take that together as the body of Christ. Father, thank you. When I was far away, when I was a rebel against you, you set your heart, your love on me, and you sent your only Son to be my sacrifice, my substitute. Jesus, thank you for willingly, humbly becoming one of us so that you could take my place, pay my price, purchase my forgiveness. Holy Spirit, thank you for coming in, creating new life when there was only deadness and darkness and hopelessness. Thank you for giving me eyes to see the cross as my only hope. Thank you, Father, Son, Spirit, for pursuing a sinner like me, rescuing me, making me new inside, giving me the gift of relationship with you, restored, reconciled, whole. Communion with a God who loves me that much, and with my brothers and sisters who I'm born into this messy, beautiful thing called the family, the church. Thank you for these amazing gifts. We receive a good gift from your hand and we say thank you. It's all because of you, Jesus. His body on the cross broken for your sins. Take and eat. His blood poured out to wash sinner clean, to make us new inside. Drink.